class. You look amazing. So you're feeling Christmassy? Me too. I'm so excited. I'm feeling so Christmassy this year. I'm really looking forward to the big day because I've got a new member of my family. I've got a lovely puppy. He's so amazing and he's so beautiful, but I have to be negative about him, otherwise this isn't comedy. Yeah. You can't just say, oh, I have a really nice life and I'm quite rich, and now I've got a puppy. You have to find negatives. And so I've got two. It's not really his fault, either of them. The first one, and this is actually other people's fault, people have been referring to him as a fur baby. Yes, no, it's not good, is it? A fur baby. Ugh. For a childless woman my age, calling him a fur baby insinuates that I'm compensating for something. And you can't compensate with something that is better. My puppy is so much better than all of your children. Thank you. And all of you. Give you an example, I'll prove it. A couple of weekends ago, we were on our walk, and you know what it's like. You're in London. You know what London does to people. There was a man, and he just crumbled to the floor. He had his head in his hands, and we've all been there. We know exactly what's happened. All of us have felt like that. But because it's London, we just walk past. We just walk past. And, oh, I wouldn't want to embarrass him with any empathy. Probably only room in that pit of despair for one. My puppy doesn't know the rules. And so he ran between the man's legs, up his chest, and started licking him on the face. And the man stared back at him, and they had this beautiful communion. And that's when I realised that my puppy is the baby Jesus. Because that's exactly what Jesus would have done. Just loved him. I don't know if Jesus would have eaten all of the man's cigarette butts. I don't know how often Jesus ate off the floor. Right, some of those details they've left out of the Bible, because it would undermine Jesus's other great work, wouldn't it? Like, oh, Jesus, lovely parables, and didn't the courtyard look clean after he'd been round? I'm going to talk about Jesus because it's his birthday. I'm not trying to convince you of anything, but there are details that have been left out of the Bible. When I was growing up, I always thought Jesus must have loved the story of his own birth. Wouldn't he? To him, as a child, it would have been absolutely amazing. He'd be like, tell me again, Mum, tell me again. And then his mum's like, all right, okay. So, well, I was asleep, and then the angel came down, done me in the ear. And then I woke up, I turned to Joseph, I said, I'm having a baby, it's not yours. He was all right about it. Then 9 months later, we had to go Bethlehem. Oh, and it was chock-a-block. There was nowhere to stay. We ended up living in this stable. I only got 2 on TripAdvisor. Actually, it was very nice. The hay was clean. There was a little donkey. Shepherds came with cute little lambkins. And then these wise men turned up with very expensive presents. The end. Ah, oh, tell me again, Mum. Tell me again. So the story of my birth, slightly different. My parents did meet in an unusual way. My dad was in a pop band in the 70s, and my mum was a fan of that band. So she went to all of his recordings and concerts, and she played a long game. She waited until my dad wasn't in the band anymore. She was the only person still sleeping outside of his house. My dad eventually felt sorry for her. They had a one-night stand, got pregnant with me. My mum told my dad she was having a baby. He told her she had to get an abortion. She said if he didn't marry her, she'd kill herself. Tell me again, Mum! So, the second problem with my puppy is, he's interfering with my sex life, which I wasn't expecting. He's a dog. I thought, he doesn't know what we're doing. It's fine. You can carry on with your romantic life. He likes to watch. He's absolutely fascinated, which is very off-putting. You don't want to meet eyes with your puppy when you've got a dick in your mouth. So, it's very distracting. And also, he's got incredible timings with his vocalizations. If I am lost in the moment, I'll be like, oh. That's how I sound. And my boyfriend, he's much more like, and then the puppy goes, it's really distracting, ruins everything. Says anything, Sarah, be an adult. Put your dog outside the bedroom door, close the door. It makes it worse. He is so desperate to get back in. He knows we're having fun. And it becomes more distracting. I tried to make it like part of a role play. I was like, oh, no, don't worry about it. That's just, we're at the beach. We're at the beach, and that's just the waves scratching angrily at the door. And that's just the seagulls barking. It became more distracting. We felt too sorry for him. So then what we started doing, the next idea, there's a hotel across the road from us, and it costs £59 a night, and we were popping over there for about an hour. That's not too much money. And popping over there, but there was quite a lot of things to do. It was a lot of fuss. We left at separate times so that the dog didn't know what we were up to. And I pretended that I was going to work. I would kind of pack my bag and be like, ooh, back to the grindstone. Gotta earn your pedigree, chum. And then when we got to the hotel, we had to, while we were in reception, kind of pretend that we were having an affair. But they can't know that we're hiding from a pet. So I'd kind of run in, kiss my boyfriend and go, oh, where does Jill think you are? And then when we left 60 minutes later, I'd put the collar up on my coat and go, tell Jill I see her at Zumba on Thursday. But then we had to stop doing that because I started to feel too guilty about Jill. Nothing to deserve this, has she? And also quite suspicious of my boyfriend. Well, if he does it to Jill, he'll do it to me. What we're currently doing, the current distraction, is we've got him some puzzles. There are puzzles you can get for dogs. They're made of plastic. They've got all these slidey flaps and levers that the dog can pull with his mouth and tubes that come up, and you just stuff it all with chicken. You stuff it all with chicken and you've got 7 minutes. 7 minutes. To do it very quickly with your chickeny hands. Can't touch anything. Did you know that salmonella can be an STD? I should actually mention, because I'm a hypocrite, I'm a vegan. I'm a vegan, but my dog isn't. And it had never occurred to me to make my dog be a vegan, although I'm aware that some vegans do that and they have very healthy animals. But to me, well, I realised the reason I'm a vegan is because I really like animals, but it's just that I like my dog a lot more than all of those other animals. So now I understand nationalism. We all know, I think we know that actually Christmas presents are one of the worst parts of Christmas, aren't they? Really, truly, if you're honest with yourself. A Christmas present is just unwrapping proof that the people you love don't know you. Do they? And you can't complain, you have to be grateful. I, like a lot of you, grew up in a poor family. We got very practical presents, things that we were definitely going to need, like school uniform. And you think that's bad? When I was 15, sanitary towels. I know, please don't feel sorry for me, I'm very wealthy now. And very wealthy now. But I do still get flashbacks whenever anyone refers to this time of year as the festive period. I know, it ruins it. It's very visual. You kind of imagine like a little tampon with a tinsel string. Or a moon cup full of Advocar. Even if you have no money, Christmas is a time where people play games with their family. My family's favourite games were who's going to cry first? And how late can dinner be before my diabetic sister has a hypo? I'm never in a rush for dinner. As I mentioned, I'm a vegan. And as I'm sure you've noticed, Christmas dinner is a barnyard massacre. It creeps me out because people put little bits of bacon around the tiny sausages. And to me, it just looks like the pigs are trying to put themselves back together. Reassemble and have a bloody revenge. I think that the greatest gift of all is life. We are so incredibly lucky to be alive. And that is why I got very angry with someone I went to school with the other day, her name's Siobhan. She was on Facebook and she wrote a big status update about how she thought women who wait until they're older to have children are very selfish. She said, it's very selfish women who put their careers first instead of their children. And she said, and I know this for a fact because I had a very old mum and I always wished that she had me sooner. Now, my problem, again, was with her logic, because you can't be had sooner. It's someone else. You're just unexisted. You just didn't happen. You can't have happened at any other time. And the fact that any of us are here is ridiculous. In the last 1,000 years, you have over 2 trillion ancestors, and all of them had to survive every childhood disease, every plague, and every famine, let alone the kind of the chaos that accidentally caused your parents to meet and make you. And you're going to throw all of that away, you ungrateful bitch, just because your mum's a bit wrinkly. I'm too sensitive about it. It's hit a nerve, because I'm 38, and if I do have children, I will be an old mum. And if any of them ever dare to whinge about it, I'll be like, well, I only had you so the dog would have someone to play with. And that would be true. It would be true. Christmas is a time where we lie to children, isn't it? We say, oh, Father Christmas is real, and oh, you were good this year. But New Year's Eve is when we lie to ourselves, isn't it? Yes, oh, next year I'll be thin and I'll have a threesome. Here's a fun fact for you. I am the only comedian in the entire world who's never had a threesome. I'm the only one. They might not talk about it. They're all sex people. All of them. Name a single comedian. Jimmy Carr had a threesome with Ramesh Ranganathan and Jasper Carrot. any comedian you like. Catherine Ryan had a threesome with Sue Perkins and Josh Widdicombe. every comedian's had a threesome. One from over here? David Mitchell had a threesome with Sean Locke and Rob Brydon. Lee Mack was annoyed. Every single comedian has had a threesome apart from me. And if you've had a threesome, I'm so impressed. I'm so impressed because it's so grown up and sexually adventurous. And I feel like I'm too insecure. That's my problem. Whenever an ex-boyfriend has suggested we bring a third person into the room, I'm like, oh, I can do all of it. I can do it all. I'll just move my arms and legs quicker. I'll just lick around a bit. I'll put on a different voice. Oh, touch my tits. I can do it all. And my current boyfriend, we're very much in love, we're in a new relationship, he's very sexy, we've got a puppy. And even he kind of, after a couple of drinks, he suggested, oh, maybe you've got a friend who'd like to join us. And I thought, are me and Jill not enough for you? Anyway, we're back to letting the dog watch. I don't think I'm cool enough to have a threesome. I think that's the problem. I am a white woman. I should have mentioned this earlier. I'm a white woman, and white women, as I'm sure you've noticed, are the least cool of all people. Right there at the bottom. When did that happen? Was it when that lady threw a cat in a bin? Was it when Daniela Westbrook's nose fell off? The nail in the coffin, Theresa May dancing. We're done. We're the least cool of everyone. And that's why we copy everyone else. That's why that's what we do. All of my friends my age, nearing 40, they all want to be drag queens. They all want to be drag queens. And it's ironic because when we were growing up, these were all the symbols of the patriarchy we rejected. You know, too much makeup, uncomfortable underwear, restrictive shoes. But then gay men took those things and made them look amazing. And now we want them back. And it is gay men in the majority. Straight men, though, and I find this so fascinating, are the fastest growing industry in cosmetics and grooming. But they're tricking you into thinking everything's manly by putting sandalwood in it. No. Yeah, it's not a lotion. It smells like a shed. If you're a straight man trying to attract women, you don't want to smell like a shed. We're scared of spiders. If you're trying to attract straight women, you want to smell like the only thing that we all enjoy, which is true crime podcasts. Make your face smell like a detailed description of another woman's brutal murder. Happy Christmas. Interestingly, murder is a very male-dominated industry, isn't it? Yes. 88% of murderers are male, 98% of mass murderers. And if ever a woman does break through, she's referred to as a female murderer, which she finds very patronising. Sometimes, even worse, a murderess. Just makes her want to work even harder at killing people until she gets some respect. I'm really aware that it's not very healthy for any of us to talk about men are like this and women are like that. I had a debate with my friend. We were talking about pornography. And you know this, men in every country where they have the internet watch more pornography than women. They watch it more often, they watch more different kinds, and sometimes this is used as evidence that men have like a higher sex drive than women, which I disagree with. Shout out to my horny bitches. Thank you. I knew you were here. This guy's argument was different. He was arguing that men watch more pornography than women because men are just more visual. And his proof, he was saying, Sarah, men are much more visual. Men know instantly if they're attracted to someone just by looking at them. Women sometimes take ages to work out if they fancy a guy. Excuse me, 88% of men are murderers. Do you mind if we have a minute? I know that isn't how statistics work. Stop emailing me. His other piece of evidence was experiential. He was saying that whenever someone goes down on a man, the man likes to watch it. But he was saying that in his experience, when he goes down on women, they keep their eyes closed. And I had to explain to him, and maybe to some of you, if you're going down on a woman and her eyes are closed, that is not because we are not visual. It is because of what it looks like from where we are. What it looks like from where we are is the scene in Titanic where Kate Winslet is on a door, isn't she? And Leonardo DiCaprio is bobbing around. He's bobbing around. And he's freezing to death. So that's why we keep our eyes closed, because it's too sad. And we're trying to enjoy ourselves.